We, in our Sunday morning class, the last several weeks, we've talked about the idea of fellowship and the idea of fellowship in the context of the New Testament. What does the New Testament talk about fellowship? Or it's that word, it comes from the Greek word koinonia, could be translated fellowship, but sometimes in our Bibles it's translated in other ways, participation or partner, if it speaks of somebody as a partner. Or the idea, in other words, the idea of having part in something, to partake in something. And then sharing sometimes, or to be a sharer. So the various ways that that's translated. But one of the things we've talked about recently in that class is the idea of that when it comes to the gospel, the good news, that the people of God become partners together in that effort. One of the places that Paul talks about that is the book of Romans, and I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 15. I just want to read these verses. Now, the context of what Paul is talking about here is some sharing in which the gospel begins in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, and it, part of the ends of the earth would be, it would include Rome, that the gospel which began in Jerusalem now has spread to Rome, and it begins among the Jews, and now it has got these spiritual blessings in Christ have gone to the Gentiles. But then word comes to these Gentile Christians that their brethren in Jerusalem, there are poor, there's a problem there in which a need that needs to be met. And so there is a sharing in which those who have shared in the spiritual blessings in Christ now will share in material blessings with the poor of Jerusalem, these Gentile Christians in Rome. So that's what's being talked about in Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 28. So I'm going to read those verses. At present, however, he says in verse 25, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles had come to share, to have fellowship, koinonia, participation, in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service, of ministry to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered them to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you, he says. The idea of a partnership, a sharing with each other, the idea of we have shared in spiritual blessings, but you can't separate this relationship of the spiritual blessings between us and God and the relationship that we have with each other. So that when we have brethren that have needs, we can have fellowship or participation with them. Another place, though, this is not does not specifically use that term koinonia or fellowship, it pictures fellowship in 3 John, and I invite you to open your Bibles to the third letter of John toward the end of your New Testament. And I want to read verses 5 through 8. And what you'll hear in this reading is that John is describing the way in which those that he writes to that I think are meeting in the house of Gaius. You'll notice in verse 1 it mentions a man named Gaius. That those who assemble in the house of Gaius, that they have met brethren who are strangers to them, but who have gone out for the sake of the gospel. And so they begin to share with these brethren, to participate with them. And notice in verse 8 in particular what he says about this relationship of sharing with those who are have gone out for the sake of the gospel, in other words, who are missionaries. Verses 5 through 8 of 3 John. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, the unbelievers. Therefore, we ought to support people like these so that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Do you hear that in verse 8? That in supporting those who have gone out for the sake of the name, we become their co-workers. We may never go where they go. We may never spread the gospel as they spread the gospel. But we become their co-workers when we provide financial support. This congregation does that. In fact, I am convinced as I look at the work of this congregation, the life of this congregation, that one of the tasks at this season in the life of this congregation, one of the tasks that God has given this congregation is to support missions. I think that's always been part of the outlook of this congregation. Amos has mentioned this before, but there was a time in the history of this congregation when fully half of its annual budget went for work outside of the congregation itself. And certainly that's not the case for us at this moment, but we do. I hope that you will be encouraged as I share with you some information about those with whom we have fellowship in the gospel. I hope that it is important for you. I think it's important for you to know this. I think it's important for you, if you already know this, to be reminded of it. And I think it's also important for you to be encouraged by what is going on that we are participants in, that we have fellowship in good work. This one of the persons that we help support, and if you look at your bulletin, if you look on the front page on the left side there, is a listing of those that we have fellowship with in the gospel. One of those persons is Paul Dowell. He has been here. He's spoken to us, preached to us before. The first time he came, he brought his family with him, in fact. And Paul Dowell is a former missionary in Peru. He was a very effective missionary there. He went to a city in Peru. He was able to share the gospel with people, and this congregation was started. They developed leadership, so that now they are led by elders in that congregation he worked with in Peru. And so it was a good time for him to work his way out of that and let them exist on their own with God's help. And they have continued to do that. And Paul was invited to come to be an instructor at Sunset International Bible Institute. And he is both an instructor, in particular in their missions training, but also he serves as the dean of students. And we help Paul $600 every month. Every month, there's a check that's written, and it goes to Paul, and it helps to provide his support in that good work. And so when we do that, we have fellowship with Paul Dowell in this good work. Now, another person that we just recently began to help support with is Christian Garcia. Christian Garcia is a student, a ministry training student at Sunset International Bible Institute. He formerly was in the AIM program, Adventures in Missions. That's for younger people who maybe have had a little bit of college, or maybe they're just right out of high school, and they want to spend 2 years working on a mission field under the oversight of a missionary in that place. And Christian has done that. And now he's come back and he's being training, is receiving training for ministry. You'll notice that his wife, Reagan, is pictured there with him. They just got married in June. And his wife, some of you will remember Ray Young, who has spoken for us here before. She is the daughter of Ray Young. In fact, Ray will be with us later this month on a Wednesday night as one of our guest speakers. Christian is from Mexico. And I'm not sure exactly what his plans are once he finishes his ministry training at Sunset. But from all that I know of him, he is a good man. We hope to have him and perhaps his wife visit with us later this month. So I encourage you to be praying not only for Paul Dow, pray for Christian and Reagan Garcia as well. And we are helping Christian with $400 per month of his support while he's in training. This will be for a two-year period while he's in training at Sunset. Let me share something that I think has been a great encouragement to me in this regard. Sometime back, we had a member of this congregation, just sort of out of the blue, give a gift of $10,000 to our congregation. And the elders, and I want to commend our elders and the attitude about this, but our elders said, let's spend this on something outside of our congregation. About this same time, we learned that Christian was needing about $400 a month for 2 years. You figure this up, $10,000 will allow us to do $400 a month for 25 months. That's right about 2 years, isn't it? Now, I don't know, maybe that's just coincidence. But I wonder if you might put this under the category of the providence of God. And we in particular want to be sure that this person that gave this money will get to meet Christian and get to know him. I think it will be an encouragement both for him as well as that person who gave that money. Some of you remember Connor Reed. As a young boy, Connor was a member here. He and his family were members here at North A. And Connor is now presently in, let me see if I can say this right, Cochabamba. Cochabamba, Bolivia. And Connor has done the classroom training for the Adventures and Missions program, went in May, about the middle of May, to Bolivia, and will be there for 20 months or so. By the way, if some of you haven't seen him since he was a little boy, you may not realize or remember, but you would not recognize him, but he's 6'5" now. And it's a two-man team on this AIM team, and they have gone to Bolivia together now. And the other guy is about the same height. So there's these two Anglo guys down there that are about 6'5", and most of the people of Bolivia are not nearly that tall. So I'm sure they stand out and are quite noticeable in the work that they're doing there. They are being coordinated by a couple, Butch and Patricia Sandoval, that are long-term, very effective missionaries there. In fact, in the next couple of years, as these guys do their work, they also are preparing to leave that good work because it is thriving to a point they feel like it's a good time for them to go ahead and move out into something else. By the way, that couple, the Sandovals, their finances are overseen by the Austin Avenue congregation in Brownwood, Texas, which is where Jim and Nelda Aiken's son-in-law, Tom Washburn, preaches. So there's kind of an interesting connection there, even with Connor being down there working with this couple that are supported by the church in Brownwood. So if you look at the picture here, there you can see where Cochabamba is at, right here, right in the center. It's by the mountains. And so when you look at this picture right here, these are the Andes Mountains that are near that city. It's an impressive-looking city. If you look it up on the Internet, find pictures, it's an impressive-looking place and a very nice place to be, I think. Anyway, we are supporting Connor for $200 a month for 2 years as he works in AIM and then comes back and makes the transition back to the U.S. We also have for a number of years had financial participation or partnership with Lalo and Jamie Rocha. They, first of all, we helped support them when they were working in a children's home in Chihuahua. Then they later went to through the preaching program at Sunset, and since 2010, they have been in Mexico City. You see, they have two young sons and are doing very good work. We are supporting them for $1,350 a month. So if you add all that up, it's about something around $2,550 a month is what we're doing in missions. Now, we're doing more than that, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But this is just on a monthly basis. But we've also in the past have taken special collections to help with the support of some ministry students in Mexico City. And I'll say a little bit more about that. Let me just say a few things about the work in Mexico City that we help with. You may remember there are other congregations that help support this work as well. Silver City, New Mexico, Fort Collins, Colorado, Granbury, Texas, and the Sunset Congregation in Lubbock. So we all help with support in various ways in this mission work. This is a city of about 32 million people. Some of you have been there and you've seen that, what an impressive city Mexico City is. Lalo recently shared with me this vision that they have for the downtown congregation in Mexico City. That first of all, they want this congregation to grow to be a strong congregation in and of itself. They want to see that it has its own leadership who are Mexican. In other words, elders and deacons who are strong and who are leading that congregation downtown. And then not only that, that congregation will begin to send out missionaries to other parts of Mexico to plant congregations, or even to plant, as we'll say in just a moment, one of the first steps toward that is to plant a congregation in Mexico, another congregation in Mexico City itself. These are pictures of the students who are full-time ministry students. One of the, I think, a very wise thing that is being done there now is rather than sending students, which is more costly on two different levels, financially, but also what happens very often when you send a foreigner to train for ministry of some sort in the United States, they like it here and maybe want to stay, and it's hard to get them to go back. And so one of the things that they're doing in Mexico City is that they are asking these men to devote themselves for 2 years of ministry training in Mexico City. There is a program on the internet where through what's called Texas International Bible Institute. Some of you may remember probably 4 or 5 years ago, a man named Steve Austin came, who directs that program, came and spoke to us about that program. What this is a Spanish language online ministry training program that is interactive. And what we mean by interactive is when the class is going on, you can see on one screen, one smaller screen, the teacher, but also all the other students. And these students may be in South America, Central America, the Caribbean, sometimes some even in Europe. And they will take this class together, all of these students in Spanish. And they can interact with the other students as well as with the teacher while they are taking this class. I think it's really a fabulous way to do this training. And so what they ask these students to do is they're supported full-time for 2 years. And the support is based on what the level of support that particular family needs, based on what they're accustomed to. And so you'll notice the names of these: Pepe, Amador, Osvaldo, and Oscar. Now, three of these are doing the two-year ministry training program right now, and that's Pepe, Oscar, and Amador. Also, Osvaldo, who has finished the two-year program, but Sunset is supporting him for an extra year of full-time internship, in which Lalo Rocha is working with him closely as an intern. And Osvaldo, Lalo tells me, is one of the best evangelists he has ever known. And Osvaldo has taught and baptized a number of people that are now part of that congregation. I think this is a very good way to do this. It's also less expensive, as you'll see in a moment, how the level of support, monthly support that these families are receiving is much less than what it would cost if they were sent to do training in the United States. The current ministry, full-time ministry team that you have in Mexico City at this congregation right now certainly is Lalo and Jamie Rocha. There also are Danny and Princeton Palma. She is from Lubbock originally. Princeton Palmer, interestingly, some of you may have heard of Gary Walker before. I think, Paul, you know of Gary Walker, his work in India. Princeton Palmer's parents were converted by Gary Walker in India. And then they migrated to England. And so Princeton grew up in England. Then he went through the AIM program. And he has become fluent in Spanish. His wife, Danny, is fluent in Spanish as well. And so they're doing a very good work in Mexico City as part of this team. But I think it's interesting, a man whose heritage is Indian is now speaking Spanish and working in Mexico City. And then you have Mike and Kim Cantrell, who've done a very good work among the deaf in Mexico City. And they are baptizing people. They're doing good work. And then also new members of this team are Carola and Gerardo Garcia. They more recently have worked in Guadalajara and have just now moving to Mexico City. Now, you may notice that name Garcia because we have already mentioned someone named Garcia, and that is Christian Garcia that we are helping as he's training at Sunset is their son, which, again, is an interesting connection here to this couple. But Lalo tells me that Gerardo is one of the best, again, one of the best evangelists that he has known. And so they're looking forward to his work being very fruitful in Mexico City. They have a great stress on evangelism in among this team. And so that one of the things Princeton Palmer is doing is he will talk to people about learning English but use the Bible to teach them English. And so he's been able to baptize several people because of that. They have what you would call neighbor evangelism, just you share the gospel with your friends. This is someone in the deaf ministry being baptized. And then also one-on-one Bible studies of various kinds. So there is a great emphasis on evangelism. And because of that, since 2015, there have been over 30 conversions who have stuck. Now, there have been others who've been baptized but have not stayed. But there have been 30 since 2015 who have stuck there in the congregation in downtown Mexico City, who are growing, who are committed, who are busy in that work. Some of you, I know Lynn and the Millers have met these men, all of them who are currently leaders in the congregation. They have not appointed elders, but at least some of these have potential to serve as elders in that congregation. Saeed and his wife Rosie. Saeed works for a company that does a lot of work for Nike, the athletics equipment company. And then Eusebio is a very good man who has a pretty high position with the city and city government. And he is about to retire and is going to have a lot of time to be able to devote to work with the church there. Juan Pablo also is, if I remember right, is from Ecuador originally, but he has lived in Mexico for a long time. And he is a pediatrician. Is also a good teacher and a very good man, a very helpful man to have as a part of the congregation. One of the ideas that they have now that's their first step toward being a planting church is that they want to plant a church in Cuayamalpa. I believe that's how you say that. and nobody's from there to argue with me if I'm saying it wrong. But it is in the western area of Mexico City. We went and visited out in that area. It's also, that area is called Santa Fe. But three of these students are from that area. Pepe, Amador, and Osvaldo. And so the plan is in the year 2020, not too long from now if you really look at it, they hope to plant a congregation with these men, knowing people out there already who are respected in a lot of ways in that area of the city, and who know this, that part of the city as well. They hope to plant a congregation out there. Lalo will be working some with them and continue to do some work with the downtown congregation as well. But so that's something I think that's very encouraging, and I think something we need to be praying about, to pray about this plan to plant another congregation. Now, the support for these students, this is the level of support that they're receiving right now. And you might notice Pepe receives a bit more, but one of the things you should know about him is he has walked away from a very lucrative business. He and his father had a very good business, and he has walked away with his father's blessing, who is not a Christian. But with his father's blessing, he has walked away from that business. And so his level of support is a bit higher. Still not a whole lot compared to the level of support you might think about in the United States. But this is why not just us, but there are other congregations that have regularly taken special contributions to supply the needs of these students as they do this 2 years of training of preparation. I think this is an excellent plan and an excellent opportunity for us to be partners in the gospel with our brethren in Mexico City. So, all of that to say, I think it's important for you to know what's going on, both financially and in the good work that's going on in various ways. I think we're doing some important things, brethren. And I think we need to thank God that He gives us the opportunity to be partners in the gospel with people like these. We may never personally be evangelists in Mexico, for instance. But can we help save souls in Mexico as we participate with good people who are doing good things such as this? So, I guess what I would say is, let's just keep doing this more and more. And as God gives us opportunity, let's be willing to trust God and to step forward and do what's good and what's right. And let's keep praying. You know, it's not just financial support that we give. Let's pray. Let's commit ourselves to regularly pray for the work, in particular in Mexico City, and for those, for Connor Reed in Bolivia, and also for those who are training or who are being trained at Sunset as well.